Thank the Lord that we can claim the presence of the Lord here tonight. Appreciate each one that has come back for the service. We'd like to start by mentioning just a little bit concerning the word dependency. And I spoke about how that in each generation and each age of the past that there was a common thread of dependency. I spoke a little bit concerning our age and the peril of this time. The greatest responsibility and the greatest peril that you and I face in this age is the keeping of our souls, of guarding our sacrifice and keeping our soul, our heart in the love of God. I want to speak just a little bit. Still want to talk to you about forgiveness or unforgiveness tonight. When it comes to wounds and hurts, I want to say that there are few, if any, that can fully recover without the help of God. I would say there are very few that are able to overcome offenses without the help of God. So that's what we want to speak to you about tonight. The scripture tells us that you and I are to forgive those who trespass against us. And we must be a dependent. We cannot trust in our own righteousness. We cannot trust in ourselves. We must lean hard on God to help us to live a life pleasing unto Him and be able to forgive. And there's a song, a portion of a song that says, I am learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. And I think that as we go along, that the Lord does teach us how to lean on Him for these kind of events that come up in our life. We know not what a day will bring forth, and we've said we know not what a year will bring forth. We know not when the next trial will be. But the Lord has grace for us. We may look around and say, oh, sin is abounding, but we always go back to the scripture that says, where sin doth abound, my grace doth much more abound. So I know that the Lord has grace for you and me in the events of our life. I'm going to say that I feel that our very airwaves are peopled with spirits. I said it's steeped with ugliness. The news, the reports, the political realm is probably the ugliest that we have ever witnessed. And I'm not trying to take any side there. I'm just simply saying what I have observed. But what I see and feel and sense, I sense spirits of hatred and malice and ill will and spirits of revenge and unforgiveness and probably many other spirits that I'm not even naming. But when we are in a society like that, we have to guard ourselves. We have to not give ourselves condone or be a part of or take on any of those spirits, because the enemy would like for us to have a spirit of unforgiveness. So you and I must watch and pray, and the scripture says that we enter not into temptation, and we should be aware of the ugliness of an unforgiving spirit. Scripture also says for us to walk circumspect, and as I said a little bit ago, to guard our sacrifices. Another scripture tells us that you and I are to be kind. We are to be tender-hearted, and we are to be forgiving one another. And it said, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. I said us because I'm in this with, I'm not going to say you, I'm going to include myself in the message tonight. So it is for all of us. Forgiveness is absolutely an essential for spiritual growth. I may have mentioned that in the message this morning, but without it, we will not be successful in our walk with the Lord. We will not be blessed. We will be troubled. And I'm going to talk a little bit more on unforgiveness more than forgiveness for a little bit. There is something that I read. I read two little statements, and it said, someone must risk returning injury with kindness. Someone has got to do it. So why not us? Someone has got to return kindness for injury. Or, it said, hostility will never turn to goodwill. We'll never feel goodwill if we do not say, I'm going to return kindness for this injury. The other statement that I read says, where there is injury, let me bring pardon. Now, these are things that the world might come up with. You know, the world isn't ignorant about forgiveness or unforgiveness. We have counselors that work with that kind of thing and write books. We have many lecturers that will talk about forgiveness and unforgiveness, and they'll give you some points. They'll say, now these are the steps that you can take, and you'll come to the place that you can forgive. But they will leave God out of it. It's all in your own strength. It's you beating yourself up and I'm going to do this no matter what I feel. And it may last only a short time. But nonetheless, that's a good statement. Where there is injury, let me bring pardon. Be a giver of forgiveness. Those are good statements. But again, I'm going to say, you and I must totally lean on the Lord and depend upon Him to help us and give us the grace to be forgiving. One other statement that I read was, forgiveness is a process. While it may take time, and then I said this, because this is how I feel. God does not want His people to stay in a place of unforgiveness too long.
That's true.
Something happens
when
we cannot overcome. We have so many scriptures that tell us that we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. What a testimony it is when we have passed through these places and can say, the Lord helped me to overcome this hurt. I was able to forgive. God wants us to be able to testify to it and not be afraid to testify to it. It's one of those things that people sort of draw back on. They say, well, I don't want to testify that I have patience because then I'll be tried with my patience, or I don't want to claim to have this, or I'll have to prove it. Prove it. Don't be afraid to stand up and say, the Lord has helped me with this thing or that thing. Magnify the Lord. And so what if the enemy comes and puts you to the test? Who's going to help you then? The very one that you're depending on. He will still help you to overcome. So don't hesitate to give your testimonies of what God has done for you. Actually, the scripture says it is in that way that we overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So forgiveness is a process. And yet God says, I don't want you to stay in that place too long. I want you to overcome. So now I'm going to speak on unforgiveness. And I'm going to call it a cage. When we have unforgiveness, do you know who hurts the worst? The one that is unforgiving. The enemy wants to bind them in a cage. He wants to make them a prisoner of their own unforgiveness. And so the one that bears it, I wrote down here, I said, has a bitter road to travel. None of us want to travel a bitter road, do we? Then let's forgive all of the offenses. Let's forgive the trespasses. Let's forgive those that speak evil of us. Let's forgive them. Where there is unforgiveness, what reigns in the heart of one that is unforgiving? Bitterness. Bitterness and unforgiveness go hand in hand. And you know, I know, what the scripture says about a root of bitterness. It says it springs up and many are defiled. It doesn't stay dormant, in other words. It doesn't stay undercover. What happens is, in the most unexpected time and in the most unexpected way, it will burst forth. And there will be others that will be affected by the root of bitterness that maybe this person is trying so hard to cover and hide, but it's because of unforgiveness. They are not set free. They're still in a cage. They're still bound. If the negative thoughts, emotions, and behavior remain in the heart, what happens? It colors everything about the one that you're offended with. It makes you see and read into their actions or their words, even the look on their face, they read things into that. If there's been these ugly thoughts and this behavior that they have petted and kept in their life, then every time they see the person that has hurt them or wounded them, and I am not saying there are not people that have wounded and hurt, but God wants you and me to overcome. Yes, oh, I can't stress it enough. We must depend on the Lord to be an overcomer in these things. But when we keep unforgiveness and we keep these attitudes and these thoughts, it affects us and we can't even overcome being in the presence of the one that we feel has offended us. And maybe there's been an effort to try to correct the situation, but it wasn't received, and it goes on. And it takes two in order to bring the walls down of unforgiveness. It takes two. It takes the one that was offended. It takes the one that caused the offense, working together. And that is the will of God. So I've already said that forgiveness becomes bondage. It's a bondage of Satan. Satan works with unforgiveness. Satan cannot work with forgiveness. It's just like what we've said to the congregation many times. God can work with an honest heart. The devil can't. But the devil cannot work with an honest heart. But God can. And it's the same with forgiveness and unforgiveness. If we have unforgiveness in our heart, the devil is jumping up and down. He's happy if you or I get in a place and we have not been able to forgive. He's happy. But oh, when that glorious grace of forgiveness, how wonderful it is. Have you ever experienced it?
Yes.
Have you ever had something in your life and the Lord truly helped you to overcome? How did you feel? Oh, the peace of God that passeth understanding was yours. Thank the Lord. There's nothing like this precious grace of forgiveness, I mean. God forbid that I would use such a term. Unforgiveness is something we must run from. So when the scripture also tells us that when you and I seek God with our whole heart, what will happen? It says we'll find Him. He says, if you'll seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me. Don't you think it would apply then to if I'm battling unforgiveness, that the answer would be seek forgiveness with my whole heart? Don't you think that the Lord would make sure that you found the grace of forgiveness? I believe He would. I believe He will. Thank the Lord. So all of the negative thoughts and all of the negative emotions and behaviors, what do we do with them? What do we do when the enemy comes in like a flood? Now the scripture says that the Lord will lift up a standard against it, but what are we supposed to do? It tells us to resist the devil and he will flee. So we must resist all of the things or spirits or those ugly things that the enemy wants to put in our life. We have to resist it. We have to say, I rebuke this ugly spirit. I rebuke this unforgiveness. I rebuke this ugly behavior. I rebuke this. Name it out. And then claim something. Claim the grace of God. Claim the power of God. Claim the forgiveness of God. Claim something from God to replace that thing which is eating you alive. Isn't that what unforgiveness does? We have a term. It will eat you alive. It takes away the joy in your life. There is nothing good about unforgiveness, no matter who it is. Nothing good. So we pray. Oh, this is one thing. You and I need to pray for the, and we need to pray this way before the offense comes. Lord, give me a forgiving heart. See, we pray for the Lord to give us an honest heart. We can pray for the Lord to give us, prepare us to have an honest heart and a forgiving heart. Then when it comes, maybe you won't have to stay in that place as long as you would have. So, what do we do about the root of bitterness? Same thing. We pray for the Lord to cut off the root of bitterness. Don't we? We should. Will He do it? Does He care? Yes, He cares. He doesn't want bitterness in our life to go out and affect our families. A root of bitterness affects our families first. It can't be hid in a family. It will affect our family first. But will it stop there? Every one of us are familiar with the Hatfields and the McCoys. We've heard of that. It seems a little silly, but it was real. It happened. Two families. Something happened. And hatred. Somebody shot somebody for some reason. And then the two families became bitter enemies. And it went for generations. It passed down to other generations. Do you want the unforgiveness in your heart to pass to another generation? And another generation? Oh, I heard how they treated my mother, or I heard how they, you know, we should protect our children and not let our children know when we're hurt. Because they will take up the hurt. Lord, have mercy that we will protect our families and that we will not let these things be passed on to another generation and another generation. Well, I have a statement I'm going to read to you, and then I'm going to tell you a story. And this says, the power of forgiveness is to set a prisoner free and discover the person was you. The very one that needs forgiveness, that doesn't have forgiveness, that is in that cage, when the power of it is broken, they are the ones that are free. Isn't that wonderful? Now, you know who the author of that statement was? It was Corrie Ten Boom. And we're going to talk a little bit in this little message now concerning her life and her story. We all know that she and her family were arrested for shielding and hiding Jews and were sent to a concentration camp in Germany. And during the time they were there, which was a long period of time, and they suffered greatly, her sister and her father died. And many of the Jews died. We all know that. That's a matter of history. But she survived. And eventually she wrote the book that most of us are familiar with, The Hiding Place. And I would encourage you to read it. It's a good book. But after the war, she had a mission. And she went back to Germany and began to go around and speak to the Germans of how God was able to forgive. And most of the time, she said that when she would present her little message, people were very silent. And when it was over, they actually just quietly, didn't speak to one another, quietly got up, picked up their wraps, and went out. And it was very quiet. But in this particular time or meeting, she looked up, and there was a man walking toward her. And it was one of the guards that she had suffered under in one of the concentration camps. And she recognized him. And she sort of looked her another way. And he's walking toward her. And she starts fumbling in her purse to distract herself from seeing this man come toward her. Partly because many bad memories came up. She began to have flashbacks of what happened to her and to her sister, and the loss of her sister and the loss of her mother. And all of a sudden, she didn't think she could forgive. And she had just given a message on how God was able to forgive us and that we can forgive others. Well, the man came on and he said, "A fine message. How good it is to know, as you said, our sins are at the bottom of the sea." And again, she tried to be distracted from extending her hand. And she didn't believe that he recognized her, but she recognized him. And so this Nazi guard said to her, "I've become a Christian. Will you forgive me?" Oh, what a place. And she wrestled. It said that she wrestled with the most difficult thoughts. And in her mind, she knew the commandment of the Lord. And we've been talking about the commandments. Last Sunday, we talked about the three commandments that you and I must meet. We must be born again. We must have the love of God. We're commanded to have it. And we must forgive if we want to be forgiven. And she knew that. She also thought of the other prisoners that she was acquainted with. And there were some that were able to forgive, and they were able to go and prosper in their life and rebuild their lives. But she also knew of those that were unable to forgive. And it said that they became handicapped and that they became invalids and they were bound. Unforgiveness does that to a person's life when we hold bitterness, when we hold grudges. She said that she prayed silently. She said, "Jesus, help me." She said, "I can raise my hand, but you will have to supply the feeling." She was able to reach her hand out to this guard, and I'm going to read you now what she said happened. "As I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, and it raced down my arm and sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes." I've got chills as I read this. "I forgive you, brother, with all of my heart." She said, "For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then." Oh, God does these kind of things. I know that you all have heard my own testimony. It was very similar, but not like hers. Hers was, that was a horrible thing that she had to go through. And it was a horrible, hard thing to forgive. But I love to tell my story because it's so similar. I was hurt. I was wounded. And I remember the first time I saw these individuals after it happened. I hadn't forgiven. I thought I couldn't. And the voice said, "Turn your head. Don't look their way. Don't make eye contact." And I did that. But there was another voice. And that voice said, "No, you go and greet them." I knew it was the right voice. I want to tell you, we have to obey the right voice. And I obeyed it. I got up. And I went to these individuals, and when I stuck my hand out, the glory of the Lord filled me. The love was there. The forgiveness was there. It was just like what she described. He can do it for us if we'll pursue it. If we will obey His voice, He wants us to experience His love. And we can love those that have wounded us. But I'm going to tell you, I won those individuals. I won them. I believe the Lord wants me to stop here. I have much more on my heart. Maybe it's for another time. But I'm going to end with this statement. With the help and grace of God, we can love and forgive each other. Amen.